It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome to our segment two, and this is where we do our Bible study, as you just heard. So we are ready to open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Hey there, Amy. Well, if you remember where we were at yesterday, we just saw David rebuking Saul and showing Saul that God had really handed Saul right on over to David, and David could have killed him in that cave. But David refused to raise his hand against God's anointed. And Saul was mortified and went on home after proclaiming that David was indeed more righteous than Saul. We know this is a temporary hiatus, though, that Saul's not going to sit around for long before he starts back up the chase. So David doesn't wait. He continues to go on. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in his house at Ramah. Then David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran, and there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and behaved badly. He was a Calebite. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, so David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. Thus you shall greet him. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm, and they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David." When David's men, young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and then they waited. And Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men who come from I do not know where?" So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. And David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." And every man of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword, and about 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. This whole chapter is going to take us several lessons to get through because there's just so much packed in here. This morning we have the plot exposition, it has to go somewhere, portion. That's a Muppets reference. Anyway. David and Saul and all of Israel are mourning the loss of Samuel. Samuel was not only their spiritual leader, but he also was their leader until they asked for a king. Samuel was a wise man, a man of God, who always put God first. His example and his insight and his direct connection to God will be sorely missed, and everyone knows it. Especially at this point, as Saul has turned out to be such a dreadful king, the people are reminded all the more of what they have really lost with Samuel now gone. Samuel was a faithful prophet of God who provided wise counsel and interceded for the people in prayer, and things went pretty smoothly for Israel under Samuel's guidance. The same can't be true of where the nation is right now. And Saul and David both mourned this loss. Saul never really understood what Samuel was really about. He couldn't have, since Saul didn't understand God. Still, Saul owed a lot to Samuel, and he knows it. He also still sought Samuel out when he was in trouble. Saul will definitely miss Samuel. And David? David recognized Samuel as a man of God, and Samuel also helped protect David from Saul when David first began his exile. David has lost an ally, a confidant, a mentor, and a wonderful example of a godly man, and he knows it. On the heels of this loss, we find David wandering around the desert of Moab. Here we are given the background, the plot exposition, on Nabal and Abigail. Nabal, he's just not a genius. He has wealth, we see that, but you know what isn't gonna bode well for a man when he is described as surly and mean in his dealings. He is also described as a Calebite or a descendant of Caleb. Caleb was the companion of Joshua, the only other spy sent by Moses into the Promised Land, who came back sure they could defeat the people living in the Promised Land. Caleb was an honorable and a good man who trusted God, which made Nabal's wickedness all the more awful as he was turning away from everything he had ever been taught in order to indulge in his sinful behavior. Contrast Nabal with Abigail, an intelligent and beautiful woman. I love that the Bible mentions her intelligence first. The most important thing to know about Abigail is she's smart. She's discerning. The contrast between her and her foolish husband will be highlighted throughout the rest of this chapter as we see just how foolish Nabal is. So now the scene is set for us. David sends some messengers to Nabal. They're sent to remind Nabal of who David is, that David's men help protect Nabal's own wealth. He sends this message during sheep shearing time, a festival time, a time of celebration when there is extra food laying around. Okay, that's a bit simplistic, I admit. Still, this is a time when you invite the neighbors to a party. David is not asking to be invited to the party. He isn't asking for the fatted calf to be killed for him. He is asking that whatever Nabal has that he can and will part with, that he share with David and his men. Nabal's answer highlights his name, which roughly translates to fool. Nabal is a fool. First, he makes David's men wait, and then he comes up with an excuse as to why he won't share his bounty, even with those who have helped make that bounty profitable. He says, "How do I really know who sent you? Besides, who is this David anyway? I don't know him. Go away." Well, how rude. He not only refuses to admit that he knows who David is, but he refuses to give anything to this group of men. Not a thing. Then he sends the men back to David, empty-handed, humiliated, and not a little bit cranky. David's first response tells us what the rest of this chapter is going to look like. Put on your swords. David is ready for a fight. He's angry because not only has Nabal refused his request, which incidentally was within Nabal's rights, but Nabal has done so in a way that is horrifyingly rude and humiliating to David and his men. Nabal could have refused in a different way, in a more civilized way, and David probably wouldn't have decided to kill him. He probably would have sent a second round of messengers to continue the dialogue if Nabal had been polite and shown them courtesy. But no. Nabal responds dismissively with insults. David then is ready for a fight. More specifically, David and 400 of his men are ready for a fight. Nabal shows his selfish conceit and arrogance in his refusal to help David and his men, and David is ready to get even. Much of what we see from Nabal throughout this chapter will parallel Saul and his character. We also are going to see some of David's natural tendencies showing through here. His tendencies when he isn't looking at God but is relying on his flesh and is just reacting instead of being self-controlled. Those glimpses will help us see how much restraint David truly did show when he didn't harm Saul. David wasn't a saint. But this story gives us a glimpse of his character that we need to understand the struggles he really goes through and the challenges he faces as he seeks God and seeks to do what God wants, even when it goes against his natural tendencies. He was human, after all. Now, before I leave you here today, a couple of things. First, tomorrow we get to really meet Abigail. She's a pretty neat lady, somebody I would have liked to have known. But in the meantime, think about this situation. Was Nabal acting completely in sin? Was David acting completely righteously? Here's what I want you all to consider today as we begin this story and before we venture in to see how the whole thing unfolds. If you know how the story goes, suspend your knowledge for a moment. David has a choice to make here. Right now he's about to act. He has chosen to gear up for battle to fight against this selfish fool. He is angry, and while he hasn't sinned in his anger yet, that's where he seems to be headed. That's what his heart wants. Stop and look at this right now. Ask yourself at this moment, is David doing what is honoring to God, or is he allowing himself to give in to this temptation? Every day we're faced with choices. Some are easier than others. Every day we have moments like this where we can choose to react or we can choose to stop and ask God what to do next. Remember, he promised that he will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, and that he will always provide a way out when we are tempted. We're going to see here how God works in this over the next couple of lessons. But for today, spend some time and consider all the choices that you have every day to either honor God with your actions and your words, or to do what you want to do. Think over your day yesterday. Can you think of an example from yesterday when you knew you were acting in a God-honoring way? And can you think of an example when you weren't? Bring that to God today and ask Him to help you to seek His will and to listen to the prompting of His Spirit within you as you go about your day.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.